Won't you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. And we're just going to read that one verse. Isaiah 9 verse 6. It's just wonderful to be together on this Christmas morning. If you put all of the sort of religious symbols and the stories and the tinsel and the Christmas trees aside for a moment, what we're celebrating today is the most momentous, apart from creation itself, the most momentous event in all of created history. That God should become man is just like astounding. We can't actually even grasp it. If you have to really think about it really hard before you can grasp something that big. So let's read from Isaiah, Isaiah 9 verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of hearing this good news. Lord, we know that we celebrate today, along with probably 2 billion other people, this momentous event. And yet there are so many others who don't know this amazing good news that you, God, became man and became one of us so that you could make us your children, that you could set us free from our sins, and that we could become children of the living God. Lord, that's the most astounding thing. Apart from being created, that's the most astounding thing, that we should be redeemed in such a way. And Lord, we want to thank you. And Lord, I pray that you just open our hearts this morning and that we would hear and understand what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Really what I want to do this morning is to ask the question, why? Why are we having Christmas at all? And I want to ask a couple of questions. Really, why did God become a creature? Why did Jesus become a creature? Secondly, why did Jesus become a creature? Why did he become a human being? Why did he become a man? Why did he become a Jew? Why did he become a first century Jew? Why did he become poor? Why did he need to die for us? And why is he not here right now with us? So I don't know if you've ever wondered those questions, but those are good questions to ask right at this point in time. So why did he become a creature, first of all? Well, it's interesting. In the ancient world, they had a story, the ancient Greeks had a story about a goddess called Dionysius. And Dionysius was a good goddess, and there were evil creatures called the Titans. And the Titans fought against Dionysius and overpowered her and then killed her and ate her. And then the god Zeus was so angry with them that he came and he killed them, and he cut them open, and out of the bellies of the Titans came humankind. So that's the creation story of the ancient Greeks. And humankind was an evil body with a spark of God in it. And so the ancient Greeks, as with many other ancient peoples, believed that you and I were pre-existent, that we were pre-existent with God, but somehow we've become trapped in an evil body. We're a spark of God in an evil body, and we just need to escape our evil body. Contrary to that, the New Testament and the early church said, actually, no, that's not the case. Actually, the big gap between God and us is not that we are trapped in an evil body and we need to get back to the realm of pure spirit. The actual divide is between creator and creation. It's a bit like nowadays. Many people in our country who maybe grew up with a traditional view of reality, They believe that actually one day when you die, you're going to become an ancestor. And while people still remember you, you're just among with everyone else in the family. And then as time goes on and people start to forget you, eventually you become one of the shades and then you become part of God again. And so people don't really fear death very much, because actually you're going to, especially if you live a good life, you're going to come and become part of God, and that's how things work. But actually the Bible speaks about no, there's a big divide between creator and creation, a huge, massive divide. And so really, we don't just become part of God. Actually, God needs to save us. And so God, this creator, reaches down and becomes part of creation to make a way for you and I to become part of his family for all eternity, which is really good news. And in fact, the whole of creation can be liberated from decay, as the Bible speaks about. And so that's why he became a creature, so that he could make a way for you and I to become part of the family of this eternal creator. For all eternity, we can be part of him who was always eternal, which is really wonderful and mind-blowing news. Secondly, why did he become a human being? Well, human beings, right in the beginning, were the last of all creation, created on the sixth day, in the image of God, the Bible speaks about. And in the sense that we are in the image of God, we were given the ability, the authority to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and to be in authority over all creation. And so God gave us that place. And yet we sinned. In Adam and in Eve, we sinned. And we were the ones who were meant to be the priests, who were meant to echo the glory and the praise of God before God for all the rest of creation. But we sinned and we started to want to be God ourselves. And so just as we sinned, so in order to redeem all of creation, in order to set things right, God needed to become a human being. So just as first Adam sinned, we needed another Adam to set it right, to redeem us. So he became not only a creature, he became a human being, so that he might redeem not just human beings, but all of creation, because we were the representation. We were the those in authority over all creation. Thirdly, why did he become a man? Well, it's quite interesting that although we see in the first story about Adam and Eve that it was Eve who took the fruit first and sinned, actually Adam was standing right next to her. And when God came in the cool of the day and said, "Adam, where are you?" he actually put the responsibility squarely on Adam. "Adam, it was your responsibility. I gave you this charge, and you actually standing next to Eve allowed Eve to do this, and then you took of the fruit yourself as well." So Adam was responsible, and God holds him responsible. So the last Adam too must be a man to set things right, to restore things. But actually, Eve was also involved, because right from the beginning, when God speaks to the snake and says, "Actually, you are cursed and you're going to eat dust all your life," he also speaks in a prophetic word there that he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And that's a messianic prophecy about Jesus. And the offspring of a woman will be the one who actually liberates the people. And so we see in Mary, actually, the virgin, Mary the virgin, a woman involved in salvation story. So yes, Jesus was a man, but actually Mary was a woman giving birth to the Savior. And so both men and women are involved in the salvation story. Okay, so we've looked at why did Jesus become a creature? Why did he become a human? Why did he become a man? Why did he become a Jew? Well, God's promise was a promise to Abram that one nation will be used to bless all nations of the world, and that there would be a seed, an offspring from Abram who will one day liberate all nations and bring blessing to all nations. And that liberator is Jesus, who came as a Jew in the first century, as a descendant of the line of David, in fulfillment of many, many prophecies. So we have the Old Testament scriptures that were written from 400 years before Christ to about 1,000 years before Christ. And in those Old Testament scriptures, we have over 300 prophecies which prophesy that the Messiah will come and will be a Jew and will be a liberator for the people of Israel, but not just for the people of Israel, for the whole world. And so Jesus comes in response to this as a Jew who understands this amazing salvation history. Uniquely among the peoples of the earth, the Jews had this incredible salvation history of a story of what God had done through the generations with their people. And so he was the inheritor of all of that wonderful, amazing story and was able to grow up as a child with this incredible story of what he has inherited. And of course, he fulfilled so many of those prophecies. So many, in fact, that it would be utterly impossible for anyone to fulfill them on his own, because some of those prophecies he couldn't have done on his own. Some he could. For instance, that he will march into Jerusalem, into the city of David, on a donkey. Maybe he could have organized that. But he certainly couldn't have organized his own birth to a virgin. Or there are many other prophecies that he could not have organized. So over 300 prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. And so he becomes a Jew because they were the people through whom God was going to bring salvation to all the peoples of the earth. So that's why he became a Jew. So he became a creature. He became a human being. He became a man. He became a Jew. And so why did he come in the first century? Why didn't he come earlier than that or later than that? Well, the Bible speaks about him coming at the right time, when the times have reached their fulfillment. And part of that was in response to prophecies that were spoken about to Daniel about a particular time, and then quite a number of prophecies about a particular time that God was going to send a Savior and set up a kingdom that was going to take over the whole world. And so we can see actually that comes about in the first century. So people were full of expectation that a Messiah was going to come. And so he comes just at that very time, in response to prophetic utterances. And so then number six, why did he become poor? Well, he came unlike any other king. You wouldn't expect a king would come, into the world in a stable, born in poverty. You wouldn't expect that. You would expect the Savior of the world to come in a palace, to come in great wealth and great pomp and ceremony. And he was completely not like that. And why did he become poor? Well, the Bible says he became he who was rich, infinitely rich, to whom all creation belonged, became poor for our sake, for your sake and my sake, that we might become rich. And so there's no one left out, no one excluded from this salvation. There's no one who God himself cannot say, I've been there. I know what it's like to be you. I've suffered like you. I have experienced what you've experienced. For our sake, he became poor. He became a refugee. For the first couple of years of his life, he had to flee to Africa and live as a refugee in Africa and then come back to Israel once a particular king had died. And so he has experienced all that we've experienced. He became poor for our sake so that we might become rich. Number seven, why did he need to die? Well, he needed to die, as the Bible says, so that he could bear our sins, that we might be free. Romans 5, 6 to 8 says, and I'm going to read that to you, if I can just find it. Romans 5, 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ dies for us to set us free from our sins, and to not just to set us free from our sins, to make us children of the living God. So there's this great offer that is offered to us. I paid the price that you can come back to me. Here it is. And the only thing you need to do, it's a gift. It's not earned. Like the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Wages are earned. So what are the wages we've earned? Death. The wages of sin is death. We have earned eternal separation from God. But, the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If I give you a gift, what do you have to do? Do you have to earn it? No, no. You just take it. If it's a gift, you take it. That's all you have to do. And so the Bible says that he came to pay for us. He had to die that we might get a free gift, eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that's why he had to become a creature. That's why he had to become a human being. That's why he became a man. That's why he became a Jew. That's why he became came in this first century. That's why he had to die. And so then the final question, so why is he not here now? If he died and rose again, why is he not here now? Why is he not among? Surely it would be much easier if he was here. And then we could see him in the flesh, and then we could kind of say, then we can believe. Because it's easy to believe what you could see before your eyes. Well, actually, the Bible says no, that he had to go to heaven so that he might send the Comforter, that he might be with us. And I'm going to read to you from John 14, John 14, 15 to 20. The Bible says, if you love me and keep my commands, and this is Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. In other words, God says, Jesus said, though I'm going to the Father in physically, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be in all of you. And so this is the amazing truth. Why is Jesus not among us? Because the Holy Spirit is. He sent his Holy Spirit. So he is living in our hearts by his Holy Spirit when we receive him, when we receive this free gift of salvation. And perhaps there are those here today who've never received that free gift. You've never said, actually, this is the most amazing, incredible gift that could ever be given in all reality. And it's for me. Let me take it. That's what's happened. That's what Christmas is all about. Is that there's this amazing free gift that you can become a child of the living God right here, right today. If you just open your heart and say, God, thank you for dying in my behalf, coming to live and die, that I might become a child of God. And so that's the reason why Jesus came, that you and I might not just be saved from our sin, but that we might become children of the living God. So let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you became a creature to redeem all of creation, that you became a human being to make right what Adam had put wrong, that you became a man to set things right through a woman. Through the Virgin Mary, you became a man. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you set things right in that regard too. Thank you, Lord God, that you became a Jew in response to all the promises, over 300 promises that you had given to the Jewish people about what this Messiah would be. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you fulfilled so many. And we can trust you that this is history. This isn't just wishful thinking. This isn't just theory. This isn't just theology. These are the facts of history, and we can see that. Lord, we want to thank you that you came and just at the right time to save us, to set us free from our sins. Thank you, Lord God, that you came and you died in our place, that we might be set free from the wages of sin, which is death, that we might inherit eternal life. And thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to come and take up residence in our hearts, to seal in us this amazing salvation that you bought for us in your life, in your death, in your resurrection. We want to thank you, Lord. These things are true. They're not just theoretical. They are so intricate and so amazingly wonderful. We want to thank you that they apply to our lives in the here and now. And so, Lord, I just want to ask, Lord, that if anyone is here today and they're hearing this good news for the first time and they've never received this amazing gift, Lord, I ask that you would stir within their hearts that they might receive this amazing gift of salvation this morning. That this Christmas day would not just be a day of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, but would be a day of celebration of their own new birth in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.